If you'd like to read along with me, I'll be reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. It's Luke 24, verses 13 through 16. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him.
Think what it might have been like if you were at the celebration where Lazarus was sitting alive after being dead for 4 days. In John chapter 12, in verses 2 and 3, the Bible says there they made him a supper, speaking of Jesus, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, and Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Stick with me for just a moment. There are a bunch of unnamed people there at this supper. And the events had taken place about a week before Jesus enters into Jerusalem for the last time. But let's just suppose that with Jesus and his disciples were two people who also believed and who loved Jesus. Now let's go to the very next day. Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And the people there are shouting in John 12 and verse 13 says, "Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." Now we need to remember that Jesus had an awful lot of disciples other than just the 12 apostles. The week that Jesus is here in Jerusalem, he continues to teach publicly in the temple courts. Again, there are a lot of folks that are listening, and there are a lot of believers. But tensions rise, and we know that before the week would end, that Jesus would be taken by the will of the people at the hands of the Romans, that he would be nailed to the cross for a public execution. The whole city was aware of it, and it was in an uproar. Then after Jesus had died, the kindness of a wealthy Jewish leader, who was also a believer, had enough clout to secure from Pilate the right to take Jesus' body down off the cross, to wrap it in his grave clothes, and to place it in a garden tomb. The sadness may have filled the hearts of the disciples that day, but there was kindness that was shown to the body of Jesus. But it was not just the men who had shown this kindness, but there was also a group of women who had come together to help prepare the body. The Jewish leadership wanted to make sure that the disciples could not come up with a viable resurrection story, so they secured from Pilate guards who would stand by the tomb to provide security. And with all the events that are now done, the traditional Sabbath was honored, and the believers were quiet and alone. Have you ever thought that some of the strongest words in the English language, strongest negative words, begin with the letter D? Words like discouragement, despair, doubt, defeat, death. The lesson this morning centers around several of these words. For you see, there were two people who were disciples of Jesus who had been in Jerusalem for that week, and they were now traveling to a town called Emmaus. Now, We need to understand that the day they traveled is the first day of the week. The day that they were traveling was a day that had already had exciting news. If only they believed it. But for these two men, Jesus was dead. If you will, let's look in Luke 24. We'll start in verses 13 and go through verse 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, "What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him and said, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have come to pass there these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things are done. And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even as so as the women had said, but they didn't see him." What I want us to take away from this is that these two people knew the events, and they participated in the events as believers. When they used the term "our company," it kind of gives us the idea that they were very closely connected to the 11. They also knew the report of the women, and they knew the report of the empty tomb that was relayed by Peter and John. And yet these two men still didn't believe. For these two, the cross was a great defeat. It didn't matter that the tomb was empty. It didn't matter that the women claimed angels that spoke that he was alive. It didn't matter that two of them saw the empty tomb. So what does it take to believe? Here's the question. How present and how real is Jesus today? Because our eyes don't see him in the flesh, does that make Jesus any less real or present in our worship or in our everyday life? Is Jesus present in our homes each and every day? We are often blinded by the fact that we cannot put our hands into his side or our fingers into his hands. If we can't do those things, we're not going to believe. And yet, just before his death, Jesus told his disciples the parable of the sheep and goats. And in the final verse of that parable, the bottom line, Jesus said in verse 40 of Matthew 25, "What you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you do unto me." I will let that verse make its relevance in a little bit. Don't leave Jesus dead, even if you know the tomb is empty. Don't let your eyes be blinded to see him in all ways in which he reveals to him himself to us today. Brethren, the dark days are done. Today we live in hope. Look in verse 25 through 27 of Luke 24. Then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These two men, these two travelers, only saw Jesus through human eyes. So Jesus began to teach them to look through God's eyes. Jesus opened the Word of God to them, and he taught them what God had said, what happened to the real Jesus. How often have we had a warped concept of Jesus? We have the Jesus that looks and feels good to us, but not the real Jesus. Not the one who calls people to discipleship. Not the one that calls people to take up their cross daily and follow him. Not the Jesus that showed that sin could only be conquered through the cross and the resurrection. Many don't look at him like that today. What if Jesus was to teach a lesson to this congregation, teach a class? What would he teach? Would it be to see him in every aspect of life? Not just in our Sunday worship? Would it be to see him in the lives of others who need kindness and love shown to them? Would it be to see him in the Lord's Supper and how he reveals himself as we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus? There are so many topics that would be difficult to pick just one, but in this case, Jesus picked one. He picked one on how to see the Christ of God. We next read what happens to the men when they arrive at Emmaus, verses 28 through 32. And they drew near to the village where he went. And as he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat to eat with them, that he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Now, I find it interesting that at the house where these two were staying, that it was Jesus who played the host, where he took the bread, that he broke it, that he blessed it, that he gave it to them. Is Jesus a host in our homes? Is Jesus the host in our church? Or is he just another one sitting at the table? It was then they realized that their strange traveling companion was Jesus himself. But it was also then when Jesus had vanished from their sight. You know, for these two men, the evening wasn't over. Verses 33 through 35, and they rose up the same hour And they returned to Jerusalem, and he found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them by the breaking of bread. Imagine walking to church 7 miles. Imagine after service is over, you walked home for 7 miles. And something glorious was going to be happening that evening. Would you walk back the 7 miles? We can travel those 7 miles in 7 minutes. In 7 minutes. It was getting dark. These men were so excited, they had to tell somebody. They turned around and walked 7 miles back from where they came. You know, Sunday services, I kind of think of them as a picket fence. You see it all lined up and everything else. And Sunday night, it's a picket fence that half the slats have been kicked out of. Because I have to travel a few miles and it's evening time. Jesus walked with these men, taught these men, and they were so excited. They turned right around and went back. Maybe they thought, maybe not all of our brethren knows that he's here. They wanted to share it. Let me close by saying this, that when we encounter Jesus Christ, we cannot keep it to ourselves. These two certainly didn't. They made haste. They went right back to Jerusalem with the exciting news, and they wanted to share it. We can't see him physically today, but Jesus Christ is alive and well. Many of us have heard the exciting news. Many of us took that news within our hearts. But Jesus can open the spiritual eyes of all who will listen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ through repentance and confession and baptism, walk with these two men for just a moment. Because they learned that this man who they had been following and had believed in was not the man who was going to physically lead the children of Israel, but spiritually. Yes, they were depressed when he died. They were sad. They thought all was lost. But on that road, their eyes were opened. Your eyes can be open too. Because Jesus is real. And he is alive. But friends, if you've been sanctified, but are living as if Jesus is dead, change your heart today. Don't delay. Come through him and ask God for forgiveness. Jesus pleaded Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you are seeking rest, if you are seeking hope in a hopeless world, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.